Dungeons and Crusaders, you are now listening to Vox Arcana, a production of Holosuite Media. By the will of the immortal Emperor of Mankind, it has been decreed that the following broadcast of Vox Arcana may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed on this Voxcast are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partner. Audience discretion is advised.
Attention on the battle fleet. This is Captain Ramaskos of the Imperial Star Cruiser Vox Arcona. Please listen carefully to the following announcement.
In accordance with the Codex Astartes, we hope that you have a productive trip to Arcona and arrive with the will to deliver the Emperor's judgment. Thank you.
Greetings, Crusaders. Welcome to Vox Arcona Mission 20, recording on Sunday, October 4th, 2015, and coming to you from the Battlefleet Charon in the Segmentum Obscurus. I am Gigabyte, and I am pleased to share the Fleet's Vox Relay with Katsu. How you doing, man?
Tired, but here. I'm serious. It's like tired, but here. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. You've had a week overrun by work like I had last week, no doubt.
Yeah, that's basically what it seems like, is that, like, last week was your murder work week, and this is my murder work week, so... But the good thing is, next week I will have off during the weekend, so that will be... That'll make things remarkably easier, I would think.
Amazing. Look forward to that, certainly.
Oh, me too.
So we've had a good week.
Yeah, how's your... What all have you been up to and all... During your week?
My usual. Killing heretics, doing wild quests, attempting to get into or continuing my Unity stuff, because I'm trying to learn Unity 3D. But that's not going too well. I'm kind of procrastinating on that, though.
Procrastinating.
Yes, indeed.
See, you said Unity, and I'm like, wow, you are behind. I'm, like, ready for Syndicate to come out. So that's the question. Like, okay, so I know that this is a totally not Eternal Crusade thing. It's Assassin's Creed all the way. But I know that when Assassin's Creed 3 came out, like, here in the States, it was like America was over the moon for AC3. Like, is there something going on in England for the release of Syndicate? Or do you know, or...
Not that I'm aware of, to be honest.
Because, I mean, Syndicate takes place in London. Like...
I know, like, but gangs we're much of New more York laid era. Back about this stuff.
This is dumb. No, where's the... This is why, like... See, on the one hand, I want to go to England, mainly because I love the fact that I am currently in a state that is, like, three times the size of England. So I could literally drive. I was doing Google Maps the other day to, like, what is the northernmost city in Scotland and what is the southernmost city in England and how long would it take me to drive that distance? And I think, like, I'd have to go back and look again. I would have to look at it again, but I think that it is actually less time for me to drive from the north of Scotland to the south of England than it takes for me to drive from Waco, Texas to Lake Charles, Louisiana, like, one state to another. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, so that would be Land's End to John O'Groats.
Something like that. I don't know. Let me look at this. This is something I want to know. This is way more important than Eternal Crusade stuff. Y'all are going to need to, like, skip ahead about 5 minutes or something. Because I need to know this. And this is something we need to know.
The very southwesty, the southwesterly area, the very, 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 very southwest.
So Land's End, where is that?
That's in a county called Cornwall, the very southwest of England. And John O'Groats is in the very northern part.
Let's see, Land's End, Cornwall, UK.
Yeah.
Okay, and now we are driving to where again?
John O'Groats.
John O'Groats, UK.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's gotta piss off some Scots. Oh, no. I lie. Okay, so from John O'Groats to Land's End is actually by car via A9. It is 14 hours, 49 minutes, which is actually, to give you an idea, give me a second. I just flipped Google Maps out because I told it to go from Springfield, Illinois to Land's End, and it's like, I don't even know.
Nice.
Okay, let's do the math here. Okay, that is, if I were to take from where I live now to where I owned my first house, it would take me only a half an hour less to go from Waco, Texas to Springfield, Illinois, which is basically from the middle of Texas all the way up the entire United States to the middle of Illinois. It would take me half an hour less time than it would take me to traverse all of Great Britain. So I'm just like, what? I don't even know. All right. So anyway, did that take about 5 minutes? Did we get the audience back now? But no, like, so. I don't understand. I guess it's because I'm American and we like to sensationalize everything, you know? But like, it's an Assassin's Creed and it takes place in London. Like if I were Ubisoft UK, I would at least do like horse-drawn carriages around London with everybody dressed as assassins or something. I don't know. Maybe
I'm sure there'll be something going on, but.
Well, it needs to be, because it's coming out in, like, a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah. I haven't heard anything, but...
Okay.
Anyway.
So, as for me, I've been doing a little bit of Lord of the Rings online, and I've been doing a lot of work. Like, to the point where I didn't even get a chance to see and to check out into the... Excuse me. I didn't even get a chance to check out Into the Warp this week. So, speaking of Into the Warp and Eternal Crusade, why don't we stop talking about all of the crap that we're talking about right now and dive into some important news, important stuff. And we will start with the fact that I miss Graham McNeil's stories. I want more of them. But can we maybe, A, not have it be about the orcs, and B, maybe bridge the narrative gap between... why they're Dark Angels now in charge of an operation in Space Wolf space? Because I don't.
Yes, that's.
I don't. Because the thing is this: there, unless like, what is it? That Inquisitor chick? Like that Inquisitor chick could. I don't know. No, because that the Space Wolves would tell her to fuck off.
They wouldn't listen to her.
Yeah, so I don't really know how this is going to even work. I don't even know how the Dark Angels can even, like, assume command. The only thing I can think of, and this is maybe me, this is my fictional prediction, and Graham McNeil can listen or not listen, it's totally fine. And maybe he's already written it all down. He's probably already written it down. What I would have is, because we know Ragnar is in the system, right? We know Black Mane is here.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say is that in one of the next couple of pieces of fiction, we also know Mephiston's here too. What I would say is in the fiction is that there needs to be a recovery mission of the two Space Wolves from Findus Keepus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, not Findus Keepus. X marks the spot. When there were two Space Wolves in there and they were going crazy and there was the Nobelite and the guard.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember the story, I think they survived. And so there needs to be a recovery op. Black Mane needs to be in charge of it, and it needs to run afoul of Scarblitz, is his name? The Dragonfang Ripper?
The leader.
Yeah, there needs to be a fight between Black Mane and this guy, and it needs to literally be a short story unto itself. Just a knockdown, drag-out fight where Black Mane is rendered unconscious. Because you can't kill Black Mane. You just don't do it. You will immediately lose. If you kill a named 40K character, first off, I would personally thank you because you've advanced storyline. But at the same time, you'd alienate a crap ton of people, especially the death of Blackmane. But what I would say is that we could do Blackmane unconscious. The Inquisitor steps in and goes, well, I understand that this is Space Wolf territory and there's an oath to, you know, that Russ took, but we need the Astartes under a unified command, and this is the senior most Marine on the ground. Because as I recall, librarians are not part of the rank structure. Like, they're not... like, they're important, but okay. They're not part of the standard rank structure. And besides, he's a captain. Captains outrank librarians all the damn time. So... And more to the point, he's a first company captain. So it makes sense that this Inquisitor would step in and the wolves are all like, no, we can handle this. And Mephiston is like, I can't see my way ahead of this because this is a whole lot of crap coming down on us. And the Inquisitor goes, well, that's cool. Here's what we're going to do. You know, Belial's in charge. Belial's in charge. Now we're going to have a unified command. You know, and we'll just go from there. And then that's when the Ultramarines show up and go, what? Well, here's what we're going to do. Belial's in charge, and now we have a unified command per Codex. And everybody goes, yes, yes, okay, Ultramarines. And they pat them on their armored head. You know? point of all that to say, I miss Graham McNeil. I want his stories. I want to know how Belial is in charge of everybody. Towards that end, that also reminds, we just want to put out a reminder that if you are listening to this and you are not a captain level founder, if you upgrade or you purchase a captain's pack, you are officially on board and invited into Alpha, because every captain is currently in, and if you become a captain, then they're going to get you in now. If you buy or upgrade, you're in immediately. Sergeants should begin receiving access sometime in October. There has not been a date put out yet. And Warriors will start receiving access in November.
Mid-October.
Was that the most recent?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because it gives as was originally promised by Miguel, that gives us about a month. That gives captains about a month alone, quote unquote, with the game.
Right.
So sergeants should be expecting their stuff in the next, say, week or so. And then Warriors will get theirs a month after that. The biggest thing is this, like, I get it that it's money. Like, I get that it's cash. I mean, trust me, I'm in a house with three kids and me and my wife and two pets, and we got bills and we got everything else. The thing is this game is being, first off, if you are listening to us and you're not a founder, you're like planning on maybe becoming a founder at some point, do me a favor, do so now, even if you only buy a warrior pack, because a warrior pack is going to be $40 and it's going to get you full access to the game, plus it's going to get you pre-access through the founder access. Once this game goes live, they're estimating this is going to have a $60 price point. So you're, even if you buy warrior and you never touch it till it goes live, you are getting your key $20 cheaper than you would at when it launches. Because they're probably not going to do a sale on it until several months down the road, or for the holidays, I think they're going to go live the beginning of next year. So there's no reason for them to drop the price for the holidays. And unlike some of the other Founders Alphas, and unlike some of the other super early access games that are out there, you're not paying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a game that may come out later in the future. Don't, you know, tell me if you've heard of that one before. But, you know, this game, it's in alpha. There are people, I'm not going to guarantee you how many people, because I don't have my client open right now. There are people in the game right now putting bullets in heads, and they're having a great time. The alpha forums, I can't tell you what's going on in the alpha forums, but there is communication in the alpha forums like, well, obviously, because I posted there, so clearly that means that there's been at least one communication. But I can tell you definitively that there have been many, many communications in the Alpha forums. And what I can tell, and what I can tell you is things that are going on in the Alpha build are things that the development team has heard from us and has implemented our feedback. So the game is really being shaped by the founders. Yes, the EC team is developing the game, but they're looking and listening to us. And so do yourself a favor, get into this game, and you get to point at things in the game and go, that was refined because of me. I, you know, found this clipping issue. I did this other stuff. You know, I've been a part of a lot of betas and a lot of alphas between tabletop gaming, video gaming, and whatnot. And it's really cool to know that there's games in your library, there's games in your Steam library that are, that you had a hand in creating. It's not just, hey, I bought this game, but it's, I bought this game and they listened to suggestions I had, or they had reasons for not accepting the suggestions I had. Founders Access, super important. Right now, even if you buy the Warrior Pack, you're getting in cheaper. If you buy the Sergeant or the Captain's Pack, you're going to be getting in within the next week or two, or already, you know, go ahead and get into that, is what I'm saying. Do you have anything to add on that?
Oh, just one other
or
thing.
Did
really.
I beat that heretic?
If you're not already a founder and you want to get into it, do one of your founder buddies a solid and get their referral code, because it helps out everyone.
Yes, referral codes are freaking amazing, and it helps to boost forum titles. It also helps get you closer to Rogue Trader points in some cases. I know that I got Preacher.
Yep, Rogue Trader points.
Yeah, I know that I got Preacher for recruiting one person, and I got Rogue Trader points for it, so makes me happy. I think it's 1, 3, 5, something like that. Each one is like $4,000, I think, in terms of Rogue Trader points.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to have. I mean, one of those is enough to buy, you know, is enough to put you kind of on your way to getting cool stuff. Also, if your points take you into Captain, then you become a Captain level up subscribe, you know, person. Anyway, and as we covered, what was it?
As we covered
2 weeks ago? Like, if you're in Captain's Alpha, this is not, you're in Captain's Alpha, and then you're going to have to transfer from the PTR to the live server. Like, no, you have inputted your Steam code into Steam. That's your game key, dude. So you're already, you know, this code is going to see you through all the way to live and
beyond.
That's
right, you're already set.
Yeah, you're set. It's done. That's your Steam key for your copy of the game. So, yeah. Anyway, we've beat that dead heretic enough. So, speaking of beating heretics, what was it? Into the Warp 35, which, because of my crazy-ass schedule, I have not been able to even begin to look at, but my understanding is you saw it all, and you can talk about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I caught it on YouTube.
On the YouTubes.
Yes, on YouTube.
Well, why don't you jump in and kind of cover what went on there?
Yeah, so we had Katie and a new face, Frederic, the technical artistic director. They spoke about the game update, or game development update. They were speaking about the plasma gun. We got to see that a little bit. Obviously, it has the same fire modes as the cannon, arcing fire mode, charge up, things like that. Effective against infantry and vehicles, obviously being a plasma weapon. Has a slower rate of fire than other weapons, and obviously takes more shots to kill someone than a bolter does. And apparently will have two modes to it, automatic and single. I'm actually looking forward to kind of playing around with the plasma gun.
Okay. So did they show these off? I mean, was this like
a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Is this like is this operating the same way as the cannon does, where like the single shot mode will do the charge shot? Or is it like one shot that's high power and then a couple seconds later another shot that's high power versus the auto mode, which is sort of like a rapid plasma thing? Like how did they show the fire modes, I guess?
Yeah, from what they showed, it looked like the... Well, I don't actually think they showed off the individual modes, like the automatic and single shot. But I've got a feeling it'll be the latter. Each shot will be of a higher power than normal. The automatic mode, I'm guessing, will be something on the lines of like a rapid fire, just bomb, 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 of a lower power. Obviously, they did mention that it has a slower rate of fire anyway, but I'm not entirely sure what that's going to look like.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep, they also showed the power sword and power axe, which look absolutely sexy.
Really? And so they've
I'm
shown
loving
new...
the power axe.
Oh, okay. So they just showed the axe versus the sword. Sword hasn't changed at all.
Mm-hmm. No. The axe obviously will be slower, the more damage. The sword will have higher penetration rate. That's really all they mentioned about those two weapons. But the models are beautiful, absolutely amazing.
Now, oh well, no, never mind. I can't talk about that. Okay.
Do you want to go in the sack?
I was gonna ask a thing. Actually, give me a second here. I'm gonna ask you a question in TeamSpeak chat.
Okay. and while he does that, they also showed some new animations for the Raptor Jump Pack. They have some new animations there by all around the exhausts. So when you kind of jump backwards or forwards or side to side, the exhaust flaps kind of adjust and react to the way you're moving.
I love it. I love animation.
The fans on top go as well. Yeah, it's amazing.
Good. I love animation. I love things that make it look realistic, you know, because especially 40k backpacks or assault backpacks are so weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can't really talk about that. Actually, what I can talk about is this. One of the things I'm concerned about, backing up to the power sword and the power axe, is I'm concerned about... because as I recall, in the current Space Marine iteration, axes and swords are not different. Am I right on that?
No, I don't think they are.
Well, because my big concern is we know that there will be power fists incoming. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know that power fists are going to exist. But my question is, especially back as far as, like, 3rd and I think 4th and 5th editions, power swords and power axes were not different. They were just different models. What did you did you want to use axes or swords? And I think frost weapons were the same way, right?
Yes. It was just power weapon, frost weapon, force weapon.
Okay. So what my concern is, I'm trying to find my Space Marine Codex. Space Marines. Anyway, my biggest concern, I guess, is that if they're making power swords in the game, they're making power axes in the game, like, the power fist is iconic, particularly if they eventually let in the Crimson Fists, because the Crimson Fists are just power fist crazy, you know?
Oh, yeah, just about.
So, the question that I have, or the concern I have, is how you're going to, you know, like I said, in the tabletop miniature game, swords and power axes kind of have the same rules, but how are you going to really differentiate them in the video game, and still you've got to put in the power fist? You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to find power weapons in the Space Marine Armory so I can be like, oh well, that's a thing, you know. But so how do you think that that's gonna play, I guess, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, in the game, they have a little bit more, shall we say, leeway in terms of how So I suppose that they do have a little bit more leeway in terms of what they can do with that, because obviously they're dealing with real time actions. But it will be interesting to see how they deal with the Power Fist, because obviously the Power Fist is meant to be like almost like an anti-armor type weapon. Obviously, you can rip through the armor of a tank like paper.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm looking at, because, you know, on the one hand, like to give you an idea, like my back in the day when Blood Angels would run recklessly at things, my chaplains used to have to carry a Power Fist in addition to their Crozius, because otherwise. You know, because otherwise you'd run into a situation where, you'd run into situations where, like, somebody would park a rhino. Oh, no, I lie. Let me back up. It was Chaos. Chaos was where I had this problem. But then I also ran into this problem when I was playing as Blood Angels as well. Whenever you're in your psychotic rush to doom as a Khorne Berserker or a Death Company member. back in the day you had to charge the closest model, the closest enemy unit. Well, the problem is rhinos count as enemy units, so what people would do to shut me down is they would park a rhino right in front of my squad, and they were all using regular melee weapons. No power weapons, or even power weapons, but you were dealing with strength 4 versus armor like 12, so you couldn't break the side of a rhino to pop it. You know, so I literally had a person tar pit an entire Death Company and an entire squad of Khorne Berserkers by parking a rhino as the closest model and then just walking around once they were locked in combat. And if ever, you know, because they had to. And so finally I got to the point where my HQ, where my sergeant or champion or chaplain or whatever, I would carry a Power Fist, you know what I'm saying, to pop the rhino, because it would only take, mm-hmm. only takes one good punch from a Power Fist, which that's going to be something I'm also concerned about for the purposes of TTK on rhinos with Power Fists. Because, I mean, a Power Fist... You know, to math hammer this a little bit, side armor on a rhino, you're dealing with strength 12, I think it is. Or 11. So. Is it, I think it's 10, 11, 12, or 10, 12, or 12, 12, I don't remember. Anyway, 12's pretty beefy, so I think it's 10, 11, 12. But that doesn't change...
Yeah, I think it's 10, 11,
12. But that doesn't change the fact that... Power Fist doubles your strength, so you go from strength 4 to strength 8, which now means you only need like a 3 on 2d6, which makes punching a hole in a rhino like way more possible. Like, damn, you're guaranteed. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's something that I'm a little concerned about, is waiting to see what happens when it comes to I'm waiting to see what happens when it comes to Power Fists versus vehicles. And that's what I'm concerned about, like, Axe getting lost in the shuffle. Because if I can just put, you know, if I'm bringing the fist for one-handed... And that's the other problem, is that I can't make armor saves to get my ass in to punch the side of a rhino. I don't know. I want to see how all these things work, particularly as it applies to the Power Fist. And the Thunder Hammer. I want to see the Power Fist and the Thunder Hammer. That's really it. Could you just, Katie, Nathan, Brent, could you just go ahead and put those in for me so that I can see what happens? Thanks. Anyway.
Definitely.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, animations, Frederic.
So after the development update, we were introduced to Frederic. Interesting gentleman. Is in charge of basically making sure that the art in the game is functionally and aesthetically correct. He was talking about how the fact that they are going to be obviously polishing the graphics in the client in the game, putting in more textures, blood splashes, and the like. He said they're not using what quote-unquote technical anti-aliasing at the moment, which, to be honest, I'm not entirely sure what he means by technical anti-aliasing. I don't know if you've come across that.
That's a good question. While you're reading, I will be Googling.
Now, I've encountered anti-aliasing before, obviously. In MMOs, you get that all the time, but...
Yeah, but this will be even more important. Okay. Technical TXAA anti-aliasing creates smoother, clearer image than other anti-aliasing solution by combining high-quality MSAA multi-sample anti-aliasing post-processes and NVIDIA-designed temporal filters. Okay, so when I did a lookup for technical anti yeah, I came across TXAA, which is an NVIDIA thing. So, which being as they've partnered with NVIDIA, that makes sense. They maybe they're just using standard MSAA right now, and then they're looking at implementing TXAA as the game goes on. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Which would work with enhancing terrain effect and things like that. So, whichever. Go ahead.
And that's the next point, actually. They did say that they have plans to enhance the terrain in the game. He mentioned that a lot of people... don't have an idea as to what it takes to make even just the Space Marines in the game. People see that as the basic kind of troop types. And I think we spoke about it last week. You know, everything is compared to Space Marines in the 40K universe. He mentioned that during the sort of rigging process, when they're rigging up the models for them, he mentioned all the different points. Anchor points that the Space Marine model has, and he said they have around 70 anchor points just on that one model to be able to rig that character. It's absolutely mental.
Are you talking about connecting like pieces of the Marine to other pieces of the Marine, or are you talking? Okay, so you're not talking about like cosmetic, because I saw that on like 70 anchor points on the model, and I'm like, whoa, 70 customization points? I can just drape myself in purity seals. Oh. But no, you're talking for the model itself.
Yeah, for the wireframe rig and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, he did mention there's a few gremlins in the system. He said that he and Brent were mentioning that frame rate issues are always a priority when it comes to bug fixes. So there was a big thing around frame rates.
Well, yeah, because the thing is this, like, when you're dealing with shooters, you know, high frame rate is the difference between life and death.
Definitely.
You know, and especially since, like, to give you an idea, I know that there is a Steam curator on Steam, obviously, because that's where he curates on Steam. That's actually, yeah. It's Total Biscuit. It's Total Biscuit, but he's got a second curator that solely tracks games that are locked at, I think, 30 frames per second. And if it's a game that is locked at 30, but there's a way to get it to crank higher than 30, or a mod that'll crank it higher than 30, then he'll make a note of that. If you're really looking for games with high frame rate, look at I can't remember. I think it's called like 30 frame per second something, and he'll tell you whether the game's locked at that frame rate or whatever. He's a Steam curator. It's a Steam curator, and even if you can't find that one, you can find Total Biscuit / Cynical Brit, and then that should lead you to his other one. So anyway. Frame rate, very important.
Yeah.
Frame rate's particularly important in a shooter. Like, it may not be as important in, like, an RPG or in, you know, a non-competitive game of, Bejeweled or whatever. but especially in a shooter. Yeah, well, especially in a shooter. And shooters and MMOs, where reaction is critical.
It's important in anything that's Twitch combat, really, but anything that's based on your Twitch movements.
Right.
FPS is a very big thing.
Yeah, I mean, anything that requires skill-based maneuvering, I mean, FPS is huge. But at any rate, go ahead.
On the subject of FPS, they were saying that apparently 60 FPS is what basically is the ideal aim
for the team right now, but they are kind of focusing or trying to focus more on character. I'm trying to get that down, and then they'll kind of really focus on the FPS issues further down the line. But obviously, they want to try and keep it nice and smooth as they go.
Gotcha.
Apparently, Nathan has no friends on his Steam account, and Katie, he has tons.
I take issue with that. Give me a second. Well, I'm gonna confirm this. I'm loading up my Steam. I wanna.
Apparently, Nathan is on Tinder as well. So yeah.
I'm not on Tinder. So as much as I like Nathan, I don't like him that much. So.
He took a selfie for his Tinder profile.
Yeah, I saw that picture, and that's yeah. that's I saw that picture, and I have an issue with it. I have an issue with it because, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Or do you? Okay, so here's my issue with Nathan's Tinder picture, because. Like, as much as I joke about all of the things that go on in, as much as I joke about how my wife and I met, like, it is an absolute truth that she and I met on an online dating site. So, the problem with that is, one of the things that always killed me about online dating sites is people who, as their profile picture or whatever, they take a picture of themselves in a group. So it's like, wait, which one are you?
Which one are you? Yeah.
Now it's not as difficult. Now, clearly it's not as difficult if it's like brown-eyed girl 35 and the picture is a girl and a guy. But it is particularly difficult if your name is like brown-eyed girl 35 and it's you and a picture of your two besties out at the club and it's three brown-haired girls or brown-eyed girls. It's like, wait, which one are you? I don't know. And especially if that's your only picture. Like, I understand, like, you're happily married, you don't need to browse these things. But, you know, 2 years ago when I was looking for Miss Wright, you know, it was a thing. For the record, let me back up a little bit. First off, the curator that you would be looking for frame rate lock is the frame rate police, and it is any game that is locked at 30 FPS. And if it is not locked at 30 FPS, nice. How to get past 30 FPS. Now, the other thing. Sorry, I have to know. I must know. Where is he? There we go. Over behavior. Last online 1 day ago. I could not know that unless I was on your friends list, Nathan. So, meh. Anyway, I did all of that. I opened up Steam. I'm patching games. It's auto-patching games now based solely on the fact that I was like, no, Nathan, I do know you. I do know what's going on. I am on your friends list. I pay attention. I care. No, not really. Anyway, okay.
So yeah, next day they moved on to the new map. After that, apparently in this new map, the Space Marines are the attackers and the Chaos are on the defense.
Good.
Which apparently is a little bit harder than in other maps.
There are comments that I have, and I can't mention them here, so I will mention them in the Alpha forums.
Yep. Apparently this new map will use the domination rules.
Yay!
If I remember rightly, is
domination is standard.
You can go for each one, can't you?
Yeah, it's standard point capture. It's not Wartug. No.
Yeah.
I love this map. You know, just so you know. Like, I love this map. But to give you an idea, this is the multi-level map with two capture points on top and two inside buildings. This is the one that we talked about last week. This is the one where they showed most of the game, most of their developer testing, they showed in this map. And this is the one where when they first started showcasing the heavy bolter and the fine tuning that they were doing there, that was the one where I think the loyalists stood at one end of this driveway kind of thing and just started unloading holy hell down the driveway, and so the Chaos guys couldn't get a foothold. I seem to remember that that this is the map we're talking about. So anyway,
yeah, if I remember rightly, that's what happened with that map. What I really liked about this map myself was they showed a couple, but there was a particular part they showed where two Chaos guys were on a gantry shooting down at people. So it looks like there's going to be quite a few sort of like firing positions that you can kind of pick out on this particular map.
You know, I will say this, I do love the verticality of this game. Whether it's Promethium, whether it's Promethium plant, or whether it's this, you know, defense map, and they've both been covered into the warp, but I love the verticality of it, how you can literally spawn, work your way up to a gantry or a walkway with your heavy bolter, and the moment the opposition force enters that building, you just let them have it, and they're all suppressed. Like, it's brilliant and beautiful. I can't wait. I can't wait to let other people see what we're talking about.
Totally.
So what else do we have to?
There was one last point they had there at the end, which was just on reporting sort of graphic bugs and issues for the founders when eventually do get in. Obviously, let the team know what graphics cards you're using. As in, it can help to pinpoint issues a lot easier. They said the best thing, obviously, most people will probably already know this, but the best thing to sort of incorporate in your report or your post to the founders, is the Alpha Lounge, sorry, would be the DXDiag file on your PC. And if you don't know how to bring that up, just type DXDiag into your search bar for your computer. And it should come up pretty easy. It's just a little text file, if I remember.
Yep. So, yes.
We need to let people know about these things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing is this. Like, just saying that something glitched or just saying that something didn't work right, like, that doesn't help, you know? Yes, it's good to know that there is a potential problem, but the other thing is this, if I remember right, they've still got the video cards from NVIDIA back when they first got the sponsorship deal, where they dropped off, just NVIDIA dropped off basically a copy of every single one of their graphics cards, because they wanted everybody to be good with what they were dealing with, you know what I'm saying? So, they want to make sure all the graphics cards work. Mm-hmm. And the way that it works is it's not just, hey, I have this, but if they can look at your Diag file, if they can look at your DXDiag, and they can say, okay, this is where things had a failure. This is the exact system specs, including chipsets and everything. This is what's having a problem. Where are we having an interaction issue? And they can work those things through. Because that's what makes this game better and faster and more capable. You know what I'm saying? So,
That's right.
Okay. So this brings to the Q&A, which I can pick up some of the Q&A here, because, I mean, I didn't watch the other stuff, but the best part about us doing Q&A in the show notes is it's question, answer. So I don't have to be like, I don't know what did happen. So first question that was asked was, will we ever see an assault game mode where the attackers have more specific objectives than capture these points and the defenders can't get them back? Well, the answer was yes, the maps are focused on certain game modes, but they fully intend on making adaptations to make them more fun. Fortress game mode has a number of secondary objectives. I think that this question comes from the Wartug style, where after you've taken the point, the previous point locks. But, like, in domination mode, that's not even an issue. Like, you've got points A, B, C, D. It's good luck on you going however you choose to get them, but they can be taken away from you at that same way, and there's not like a tug of war that needs to happen. You know what I'm saying? They also asked about capture the flag mode, and it says yes, but there'll be an Eternal Crusade flavor to them. Maybe capture a flag where the roots in and out are meat grinders, maybe something like capture the relic. I'd be concerned about a capture the flag style mission. You know, I would see maybe something like a disrupt the ritual style thing where like Chaos is trying to do something. I don't know. What I would love to see, this is my thing, my absolute favorite map campaign. I don't know whether you experienced this or how you felt about it, was the Dawn of War Dark Crusade, where each territory had a map, but it was ultimately just a basic game of Dawn of War. But once you got to either the faction HQs or there were specific strategic zones that would unlock things like the spaceport or double ammunition rations or whatever, but each of those were specific scenarios. And I think that if in...
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I think that if in the Marsh of Absolution, that sounds sufficiently 40K, if in the Marsh of Absolution there's a Capture the Relic scenario, or a let's say Capture the Flag, wherein there's a group of Chaos cultists, which of course lets you put in PvE cultists, right? PvE cultists sitting in a circle performing a ritual, and once the map starts, you have so many minutes to disrupt that circle. You know, Chaos will deploy at the circle, and they have to protect the cultists. If so many cultists die, then the ritual can't happen. Or so many cultists have to die. Anyway, but whereas the
I think
Marines would have to assault
what
that.
What you're talking about
thing.
There, I think. Sorry, I was just going to say that I think what you're referring to there in terms of your kind of disrupt the ritual thing and this capture the flag thing, actually, I think maybe that's what the first person was talking about in their question in terms of sort of more specific objectives. I think that may be what they were getting at there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, that's the good thing about having, a 16-kilometer by 16-kilometer map, is that there's plenty of things you can drop in, and you can take small zones, you know what I'm saying, and turn them into these kind of disrupt the ritual type things, or, you know, whatever, you know? So, I think it would be neat to see each of these kind of play out. So it'll be cool to see it'll be cool to see how these missions play. I would just love to see like maybe specific scenarios, something like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, totally.
So what else did they ask?
Someone asked when will we be able to buy Eternal Crusade merchandise when I can speak properly? And all Nathan had to say was we've been looking into that. I was like, oh damn it, give us more information, because I would love to buy Eternal Crusade merchandise. I want a t-shirt, I want a tote bag, I want stuff. Don't know.
Yep. So, but he didn't say anything more than that.
No, unfortunately not.
Great. Good. Thanks. It's real super in-depth information. Big fan.
Yeah, exactly.
10 of 10. Let's see. So, what is another question? How long will it be before we can make parties out of friends lists as well as voice chat? The answer came back. In-match squads are coming in right now. There'll be a lobby to create a squad coming soonish. High priority on the list, but there's no time frame. Depends entirely on the complexity of getting it into the game. Voice chat is coming once they can sort out the bugs in getting Unreal and Steam to interact. Unreal and Steam chat. Personally, I would kidnap the shit out of whatever Ark is doing, because Ark has it right. So,
totally.
I would make that happen. Let's see. Also, they asked if smaller matches in open world when the game goes live. You want to kind of clarify that.
Yeah, it's just asking, will we be having like smaller, like the matchmaking type, you know, 25 minute type matches in the open world when the game goes live, or will it be sort of like just, you know, mainly open world where you just kind of go throughout the whole kind of thing, go through the whole campaign. They mentioned that particular matches will still be there at launch, but it will be part of the main campaign, but there will be multiple options available. So yeah, I think, yeah, we'll have the main campaign going on there. But this person, I think, wanted to know, will there still be like little smaller matches in between the main storyline campaign?
I still kind of want to see Planetside style, where like there's not matches, but like if I get tired of fighting at the Prometheum plant, I can just up and go and travel across the map, you know, over land, get to the next place and start doing things. Because to be 100% honest, if this is a map campaign, what I would love to see is some of the stuff that I can do in Planetside, which is like, I can take, okay, we are going to hammer these guys at Point Lookout, and we need you five guys to put a group together and go start trying to take this other place, while, you know, hopefully they're going to either prioritize and slant, you know, and retaliate, or they're going to hold on and we'll just easy cap the other place behind them. I love strategic map campaigns, and that's, you know, hopefully we'll have to see how the strategic layer works out, but I want to see stuff like that happen on maps. And that's where these smaller matches would be kind of cool, if they weren't like, okay, well, we're going to do a smaller match, but it's ultimately going to be no different than these matches that we do already. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it works. So what, I'll bite, what is the funniest bug
cool.
found so far?
There was a couple of them that they mentioned, but the funniest ones I found from there was the predators and rhinos would like hit a rock and then launch into the sky. Or they'd get loaded up with crack grenades and shoot up into the sky when they exploded. I thought that was quite funny.
Oh, that actually sounds like a great idea. We should just do that all the time.
that'll be very. I think we should have that instead of Griff Ball. I think we should have.
No! That is unacceptable! We must have Griff Ball at all possible opportunities! Anyway. I think that was the worst. I think that was the worst Sarge I've ever done.
Oh, and apparently Team Killing awarded the Dev Kill achievement.
Hey, Korn does not care from where the blood flows. So.
Yeah.
Plans for a field of view slider?
Yeah,
they asked, they said,
plans for that.
Yeah, they said, not right now. It's really complicated to mess with field of view. Plus, if you've gone back and you've looked at several different things, they fought with this camera for a while. So it's kind of rough to be like, I don't know. It's kind of rough to be like, well, you know, maybe yeah, maybe no. I don't know what we want to do. Well, now we've locked the camera. We don't want it to move too far. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
kind of a weird.
And I think if you could pull it out too far, I think, you know, you'd lose the feeling of war, basically. You know, and if you pull it in too close, you're just creating a Call of Duty clone.
Right. So, that's Eternal Crusade.
Mm-hmm. That was it for 35.
Yay! It was their episode 35. It was our episode 20. Kind of a big thing, and we'll go from there. From there, we'll talk about kind of two things in reverse order. First off, the Heresy period Contemptor dreadnoughts. I'm not a big fan of dreadnoughts. Dreadnoughts just don't sell me like they used to. Like, when I first started playing, I was like, yeah, dreadnoughts! And I had like three or four dreadnoughts, and then I never took them. They just, I can do more with other units. I don't need the Dreadnought, especially since now, you know, they just have to hit me. They don't even have to really do anything, and then they'll do a hull point, then I'm just screwed, you know?
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just not a big fan of Dreadnoughts. Particularly since the one time I was super invested in Dreadnoughts was when I was playing Chaos, because I just liked the randomness of it. But at the same time, I could take, what are they called? They're the, like, weird, warped heavies that can just manipulate things, create guns out of their hands in Chaos. I
know what you're talking about. I can't remember their bloody names, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Whoa. I'm going to have to... Yeah, we're going to talk about this other guy. Oh... Sorry, I had a moment. I need a new keyboard.
Yeah.
Like I said, well, the thing is this. Dreadnoughts are awesome.
Yes, I believe you're speaking of the KV-128 Storm Surge.
Oh, yeah. Did you look at the main GW site?
Uh-huh.
You just need to... Here's the deal, guys. You need to go to the main GW site. They have, like, a flash animation of... They have a flash animation of this thing doing like a 360, and then they have like little data points popping up and showing
technical readout type thing.
Oh, it's so hot. So do yourself a favor, look at this thing. The only thing, it's just, I don't know, like, that looks like a lot of firepower. It looks like it's going to be really, really hideous whenever it hits the table.
Apparently it's a Titan killer, so, you know.
Well, the thing is this, like, I remember I was listening to the Long War podcast, and they've talked about this thing, and it is hideous, and it depends on what the rest of the Codex is going to do, but as of right now, this thing is just ridiculous, and as I recall, they were making a point that it was underpointed. It should be heavier, or if it's, you know, or else give it more teeth, you know what I'm saying? And it also depends on, like, for example, we don't know if marker lights are going to stay the same. We don't know what all the details are going to be of the new war gear, and that might have something to do. As I recall, this thing has two pilots, even, so it can split fire.
Uh-huh.
It's just, this thing looks like it's just going to be ridiculous and wicked. And it'll be interesting to see what other people think about, you know, how other armies react to it. That'll be interesting to see. So anyway.
Well, what I really love about this, back when I first got into the Tau Empire armies, as they were bringing out the new models, the Manta Missile Destroyer was described as the Tau Empire's Titan Killer. Like their equivalent of a Warlord Titan or something like that. And I remember looking at it, I thought to myself, I really don't like that. That's a dumb idea. You've got this army that specializes in battlesuit warfare, and their quote-unquote Titan is a plane. No. Give me a massive goddamn huge battlesuit Gundam thing. You know, I want a massive battlesuit to go in to battle with. And now I have it.
I just don't know that I like the idea that the answer to everything in the Tau is to just get a bigger battle suit. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, oh, what? A stealth suit doesn't work? Oh, well, we'll put a Tau in a battle suit. What? The battle suit doesn't work? Well, we'll put a battle suit in another battle suit. What? That battle suit doesn't work. We're going to take the battle suit in the battle suit and put it in a bigger battle suit. Like, is that just the answer? Is that the Tau answer to everything?
Well, it's the Space Marine answer to everything. Put a Space Marine inside a Space Marine.
Well, the thing is this. Like, that's put a dead Space Marine in a tank. That's beside the point.
Oh, no. They've put Space Marines in Space Marine suits now.
Oh, is that the... that's the Centurions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say much. That's an Imperial Fist thing. But, But no, like, the only thing is this. I can see Forge World's... I've got it. Forge World's next Tau model. It is five smaller battle suits that combine together
combine.
to become a mega battle suit. It'll be great. I can see this now. What I'm going to do, I'm gonna have to figure out how to home codex this so I can take 5 fire warriors with attitude and paint each one a different color and then have 5 battle suits of those same colors. And then I can take those and, yeah, go Tau Rangers. Da, 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 da. That's what's going to happen, dude. It's yeah, that's going to happen. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, you do have the 5 different casts. You know, you could have one for different casts. Oh,
this is the best idea ever. Why did we never think of this before? This is going to be... Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, this is happening.
We've got the title of the episode, haven't we? Go Tau Rangers.
Go Tau Rangers. This is going to happen. So, at any rate... Let's see, what else? What else is there? Like, is there really anything other than Tau Rangers at this point?
No, I think that's it for the. I think that's it, really. You can't really go any further than Tau Rangers.
I mean, we could. I mean, like, I guess. Anyway, so.
Oh yes, and before I forget, as well as the normal Storm Surge by itself, there is a mobile assault force of 3 of them.
Yes, best plan ever.
Oh my god.
Just in case you needed more. Alright. So, let's see. Normally, like, we really don't have lore right now. We're going to wait for later to put more lore out. Plus, we're clearing about an hour now.
We're taking a lore break.
Yeah. Oh my god, we're done with lore. Devotions of the Faithful, we're still looking for iTunes reviews. So let's see if we can get some iTunes reviews out and into the iTunes machine, or leave us a review on Stitcher, or leave us a review really wherever. Tell your friends about us. We're pretty awesome. We like to hear from you guys. So definitely definitely let us know what we're doing right, let us know what we're doing wrong. VoxArcona@gmail.com, @VoxArcona. On the Facebook machine, we've got a Facebook group. There's a handful of things we can do. So definitely, let us know what's going on. Leave us a review, because we really, really want reviews. We want people to know what's going on, you know? So...
And it lets our bosses know that we're doing a good job and Xander won't beat us anymore.
Right. Yeah, Xander won't beat us anymore, and we might start getting our Bison Buck payment back.
Yes, anyway. That's right.
So, as I said, we're at the end of our content. I am Katsu. He is Gigabyte. We are Vox Arcona. And here's our thought for the day.
The Emperor is our guiding light, a beacon of hope for humanity in a galaxy of darkness. As we serve him, he is our greatest servant. As we pray to him, his thoughts are only for us. And in the dark, when the shadows threaten, the Emperor is with us, in spirit and in fact.
Broadcast of Vox Arcona, a production of Holosuite Media. Be sure to check our website, iTunes, or Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered Voxcasts and more. You can follow us on Twitter at VoxArcona, or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to voxarcona@gmail.com. Return next week for yet another communique from the VoxArcona.